This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
The Nuggets are trying to get healthier. They returned another starter last night. Was it enough? And what to think about the upcoming trade deadline for the Nuggets. Broncos' biggest needs in the offseason. Not just external guys, but internal guys they should look to keep. Doug Gottlieb going off on KenPom ratings. I have some thoughts on that. Also, Sean Keeler, the Denver Post, will talk to us about the Broncos, the Nuggets. I'm sure we'll figure some other things out to talk about. It's Super Bowl week two. We'll get into that. The whole show starts now. Exciting finish again to the Detroit Pistons, 124-121. It's still too, like, you're trying to insert guys here. You know, Joker's still on kind of a minute restriction. I mean, he played 39 minutes. He was at like the 29, and they did throw him in with like the 4 minute mark. So that probably went over his limit. So I don't know how closely they're monitoring that at this point. Jamal Murray had himself a game. Christian Brown reinserted into the lineup and went ahead and started. 6 points. 2 of 6, 0 for 1 from the three-point line, 2 for 2 from the free throw line. Christian Brown's got some work to do right now. Now, he's coming off of the injury, the second time coming off the injury. He's definitely out of favor. Fans are not thrilled, even though they're not going to give him much patience for the simple fact he hasn't played many games this year. When he does play, he's not impacting the game like we've seen in years past. Brown's asset, number one asset, good defensive player, but on the offensive side, he's a slashing guy. He's an excellent finisher who can get to the rim. Not an amazing three-point shooter. Not a terrible three-point shooter. But we're just, it's tough, man, because you're watching Peyton Watson. I want to be careful here, but my gut tells me we're watching the birth of a superstar here. And I say superstar, I mean like not Joker, not like one of those, like Cooper Flagg. I know, he's a rookie, but you know what I mean? Like he's not... I don't know that he's going to be one of those players, a Donovan Mitchell, Kevin Durant. I don't know. I don't think so. But he's turning into be an upper echelon basketball player. I mean, he had 17 points last night. He was 4 of 11. It wasn't great. But I noticed something last night. He went to the free throw line 11 times. Peyton Watson went to the free throw line 11 times. That means he's handling the ball well enough to get into the paint and force the opposition to foul. Also, he's making free throws, 9 of 11. I thought about it watching him shoot because it was barely like the beginning of the season. He was a liability still. Not a liability, but not great from the free throw line. Not somebody you thought was, okay, yeah, these are going in. I mean, he's a career 69% free throw shooter. He's shooting 73% this year. That's way better. That's 4% better than his best year. If you watch basketball closely, you can just see the confidence even when it comes down to the free throw shot. He just looks more stable. I don't know if that's a credit to the coaching staff that's been working with him for the last 4 years. If that's just him growing into a player. But the better he does, and the more frustrated we become with Christian Brown's box score numbers, it does have the same vibes as Zeke Nagy. Now, again, Zeke Nagy got a contract based on what? I don't know. Christian Brown got a contract based on everything he did for the Nuggets in his rookie year, where they won a championship, to what he did in their last two playoff years. I mean, he has been a stable player for this team, you know, and getting better. You know, again, his rookie year, he was averaging 4.7 points per game, but it was kind of his defensive ability and coming off the bench too that really seemed to help make his case as far as, you know, where he's going to fit in with this Denver Nuggets team. And that was what they were hoping would continue to grow, that his defensive ability would continue to grow, his shot-making ability would grow. I mean, he shot 39% from three last year. That's pretty good. It just didn't feel like it. I don't know why that is. It just didn't feel like it. But, you know, once there was the decision that he was going to take over in that starting two role, you know, there was, okay, how's he going to do coming off the bench? It's a concern, and it's a you know, what if, a shoulda, coulda, woulda. Should they have given the money to Peyton Watson? Watson wasn't, you'd have to be their predictor, and that's, I guess, where the evaluators of talent come in, and they have to look at it and go, well, Brown's had the better first 3 years, no question, but who has the higher ceiling? And I think right now it's pretty obvious that Peyton Watson has the higher ceiling. Michael, let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good, the bad, the ugly, Mike. There we go. No, nothing? No.
Sorry.
The good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. But come on, Mike, wake up. It's Wednesday. I know. It's early, buddy. It's 11:12. The good, the bad, the ugly. Again, the good is the fact that Christian Brown is back. I do think, you know, you're premature if you're sitting there saying, oh, that was absolutely 100% the wrong move to make. We got to give him time to gel and get back in with this team. The bad for me was another night, another Nuggets loss against a really good Pistons team. The best in the East. I also want to get into some thoughts on that game, too. On, like, what David Adelman was doing with these lineups. Was last night a showcase game to try to trade some dudes? If so, you didn't see Zeke Nagy. But you did see a lot of Julian Strother. I guess Zeke played a minute. The ugly was something that I didn't watch last night, and that was the Pro Bowl. I mean, I got on Twitter a couple of times, and I would see the updates and everything, but I don't know. It was 66-52. That was the Pro Bowl score. That's the Pro Bowl score. I don't know what you do. Because what is it? It's mainly just a fanfare thing. It feels like an extension, obviously it is, of just Super Bowl week. Where it's, hey, players are hanging out, talking to various media members. I see Broncos reporters are all there asking random players of what they thought of the Broncos. Oh, that's odd. But, hey, makes for content, I guess. I'm surprised the players are so willing to do it. They're signing autographs, maybe, and it's just kind of a fun event for the players to go hang out. But I like what Jamal said about his own All-Star game in the NBA's. You know, if we're not going to put out an effort, then I'll just go on vacation. I'm not saying they didn't put on an effort last night. It's just a flag football game. You're not even playing the game. The NFL Pro Bowl has now moved into the worst All-Star game of all of them. I'm not even willing to debate that today. That is the worst All-Star game because it's not even the game. Hockey and baseball are probably up there at 1 and 2. NBA is now 3, I would say. The Pro Bowl's like, hey, let's put our great players together that earned this honor to play a game that's not even the game that they played in which to earn said honor. So there it is. The Good, the Bad, the Ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. Again, going to the Nuggets-Pistons game last night. This was a... Because I don't see how Julian Strother fits once you get fully healthy. And you're, you know... Because I think Christian Brown's going to get... He's going to get better. He's going to have his nights where you go, there it is. There's the guy. You're going to get back a couple more guys. You're still waiting on Cam Johnson. That's going to fill out your starters again. And you're still waiting on AG, who will... Obviously, that's 4 to 6 weeks. Probably 3.5 to 6 weeks now. Or 4 to 5.5 weeks, however you want to say it. Getting your starters back is certainly going to help. I don't see Julian Strother being a big piece to what they're doing in the playoffs this year. Now, he did have a couple of games last season in the playoffs where he made a big difference. I think one of those games was against the Thunder. But do we really look at him and say, that's a guy that is going to be a big piece of what they're trying to do? I just don't get it. And so, I mean, the trade deadline is tomorrow. And if you're trying to move guys, move contracts or whatever, Strother's not going to do much for you. I mean, he's under a team option contract that certainly goes up to 4.8 next year, but trading him right now at 2.6 doesn't do a whole lot for you. Zeke Nagy would be another one that would be interesting. If you could actually move him, he's had a couple of games here and there, especially during the run when Joker was out, where you said, hey, that guy's kind of playing like maybe we thought he was going to when the Nuggets drafted him out of Arizona. I don't know if a team's willing to take on $8.1 million to bring in a player that's shown slight, I guess, glimpses of being a decent player. So we'll see. I mean, trade deadline's tomorrow. I would imagine they're on the phone now trying to move Zeke Nagy. Who else can you move? I mean, is Jalen Pickett somebody you want to move or you think is going to be a decent part of what you're doing? Can you trade Hunter Tyson? I mean, these are all minuscule contracts if you're trying to work up something for Peyton Watson. Obviously, the chunk one would be Zeke Nagy. If you can move his 8.1, next year it's 7.4. If you're able to move all these contracts, so 7.4 for Zeke Nagy, 3.3 for Daron Holmes, who's still very much a project, 4.8 for Julian Strother, which, hey, starts to make a dent. And this, we're talking next year, obviously. Pickett's 2.4, Hunter Tyson's 2.4. So if Peyton Watson is going to be a $20-plus million dude, then getting rid of those contracts could really help you out in that process. In fact, if you get rid of all these contracts, talking Zeke, talking Holmes, talking Strother, Pickett, Tyson, that's $16, $17 million right there. Still going to be tough. Still going to be tough because that's not even enough to get you to the 20. And you'd still be over. You'd still be in that second apron, I believe, of what that's going to, you know, as far as what that's going to look like next year. They have to try to keep him, though. I would imagine they're going to do whatever they can. And if they have to risk going into that second apron, they might do it. They did say last offseason, once they shipped off Michael Porter Jr., that they had no interest in flirting with the first or second apron. But I don't know that anyone quite saw Watson emerging like this. If there's anybody in that front office that said, yeah, Watson's going to have a breakout year this year, they clearly didn't say that because they would have given him the money instead of Christian Brown. But they're locked in with Brown, man. I mean, his contract is through the 2030-31 season. And that's a lot of money to take on if they ever tried, and they can't move him right now, but if they ever tried to move that player down the road, and nobody's taking that chance. Nobody's going for that type of player for that type of money. And it does kind of feel a lot like the Michael Porter Jr. contract, although Michael Porter Jr. was still a lethal player. Now, to be fair, again, Christian Brown, it's going to take a little more time. I think we have to sit back and examine the rest of the season and what the playoffs look like with him. And then you kind of see what kind of dude he is. Brady, if you dump those guys, who's left to play on the bench? Well, and that's the thing, man. All of those guys I mentioned are not really getting that chance because they're getting that chance because of the injuries. So if you get rid of all those guys I just mentioned, you still have Bruce Brown coming off the bench. You still have Tim Hardaway Jr. coming off the bench. You still have Jonas Valanciunas coming off the bench. And keep in mind, once you get to the playoffs, it's more or less a, hey, we're going to go probably three deep from off the bench, three or four, if you're lucky. So you'd still be kind of, you know, again, maybe you keep one of those guys like a Jalen Pickett. You still have Bruce Brown, who can play the one or two, Tim Hardaway Jr., who can play the two or three, Jonas Valanciunas, who can play center. Apparently he can play center along with Joker. David Edelman tried that scheme last night. And you still have Spencer Jones, who did not play last night because he has one game remaining on that two-way contract. What can they do about Spencer Jones? We'll talk about that coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado, live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. Don't go anywhere. We got Nuggets talk. Also, Broncos' biggest needs. Patrick Surtain and Nick Benito sat down with Kay Adams yesterday. Talked about the future. Also talked about whether or not they thought they would have full-on won had Bo Nix been in the game. We'll get into it. We'll be right back.
The Broncos, the Nuggets, the Avalanche, the Rockies, the NCAA, and the NFL, and KFKA. And we aren't changing anytime soon. We have the sports broadcast you need on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire. Ooh.
Hey, Greeley, if you need a little lift up right now, City of Greeley's Lift Up program is here to help now through May 31st. One easy application could put money back into your pocket. Qualified residents may receive up to $100 from the low income and food tax rebate, plus $150 credited to your water utility bill. Real help for food and utilities when it matters the most. Apply at greeleyco.gov/lift-up. Or call 970-350-9748, giving Greeley a boost. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. So the Nuggets, they have one game remaining for Spencer Jones to play. And they decided to, before they have to decide what to do with him, because you can only have, 50 games on the two-way contract, and he's at 49. He has one more game. I think he's playing tonight against the Knicks. And the Nuggets will have to make that decision. As far as, whether or not they want to, stay under the luxury tax. That's been their goal, like a primary goal. And that's why they got to move some people around. I don't know what that money looks like for him. Probably not very much at all for Spencer Jones. But, according to the Denver Post, their primary goal to get under the luxury tax is evident in that they've gone through half the season with an open roster spot. Nothing in a rule book would have prevented them from converting Jones' contract on Tuesday or earlier if they had wanted him available for Detroit. So I guess they're going to do it. They need to do it, especially if they can move some guys. Do I think Spencer Jones and Julian Strother and those guys are going to make that impact? We're talking playoff basketball. That changes. There are so many guys that you see throughout a regular season where you go, yeah, that's a fine player. Yeah, pretty good. And then they just kind of fizzle away once the playoff starts. I like Spencer Jones, but right now I could totally see him being that guy that helps you here and there, has some nice games here and there. His three-point shot is getting pretty good. It's a very unorthodox-looking shot, but it's getting pretty good. But I could also see him not being a part of their major rotation once the playoffs hit. And Adelman, I feel for the man. This is his first year as head coach. You know, last year he took over late. We all know that story. He's dealing with the injuries was one thing, but it's also difficult because you were winning games in January. I think they finished over 500. And they finished over 500 without Joker. If you're now you're getting Joker back, now you're going to get Christian Brown back, and now soon you're going to get Cam Johnson back. You're also trying to figure out those minutes of, you know, minute restrictions. You got to deal with that now too. I mean, the lineup that Adelman put out at the start of the fourth quarter was Nikola Jokic, Jonas Valanciunas, so going big there, Tim Hardaway Jr., Jalen Pickett, I believe, and Julian Strother. Like, that was who you rolled out in the fourth. And then Joker sat with like 10 minutes, 9 minutes to go, came back with 4 minutes to go. This is not Michael Malone's style. You could almost set a timer by it. You could cook food by it. When Joker was going to come in and when he was going to go out, he was going to play the entire first. He was going to sit the first 5 minutes of the second, then finish the second. He was going to play almost the entire third, maybe come out with like 3 minutes left in the third, and then come in with a few minutes into the fourth quarter and then finish the game. I mean, you could set your watch by it. Now, Adelman's doing a lot of this piecework because he has minute restrictions to deal with, and he doesn't want to run guys through the ground. But he hasn't, and you've dealt with the most injuries, the most significant injuries that I can ever remember a Nuggets roster dealing with. I mean, we're talking in the height of this thing, it was four starters and a backup big. That's significant. But getting those guys back, you have to try to figure out what that looks like on the floor. Who loses minutes? Peyton Watson started last night alongside Christian Brown, alongside Jalen Pickett, and Jamal Murray. That's an interesting lineup, man, and obviously Joker. Is Watson, when you get guys fully healthy, I thought Brown would come off the bench. I thought he might, and I'm wondering if that might make sense for him. But you don't put that money on the bench. That's the problem. So, if you know, a perfect starting lineup based on performance and availability would probably be Jamal Murray. You probably do go Christian Brown, Cam Johnson, AG Joker. Do you go Watson off the bench, or do you start Watson over a Cam Johnson? Or do you go a little bigger at that two-guard spot? Because Watson's proved he can handle the ball, so you could mix and match there too. And you start with Jamal Murray, Peyton Watson, and Cam Johnson even once he's healthy. And then AG and Joker. So, I mean, Adelman even said that in the Denver Post. He said, I'm feeling it out, man. I'm feeling it out every game. We walk through stuff in a hotel room, and I presuppose lineups and put them out there in their sandals, and then we go play. Then you have to react during the game, and that's part of the NBA. So there's no excuse there either. It's just I was trying to find a group that had some rhythm. We found a couple, but the end of the first half just killed us. He started the game with a four-guard lineup, because, again, Peyton Watson, guard, can play, could play three. But you go four guards to start, and then you go to start the fourth quarter with a jumbo package. That's with Jonas, and that's with Joker in there, along with Strother, Watson, and Jalen, and Tim Hardaway Jr. That's who it was. Tim Hardaway Jr., not Pickett. So I got to give him this, man. He's not afraid to experiment. He's not just saying, Joker, save us. You will play your allotted minutes no matter what. It's on you. And that was very much, and again, I know it's more simple. I'm simplifying it a little bit. I know it's a bit more complicated. But you're basically, that's what Malone was essentially doing. Yeah, I could tool around with a bunch of lineups here, but still need Joker to play his consistent minutes. And that proved to cripple this team because they had no idea what life looked like without Joker. Jokerless minutes was a real thing until this year, until David Adelman. And that's because David Adelman is empowering his young players. He's really done something with Peyton Watson, and I'm going to credit Adelman and his coaching staff. But also, you know what really helps young players get better? Playing. And playing through mistakes. Malone was very much the, oh, you turn it over, you're not in the right spot defensively, you're out. You didn't see Peyton Watson get these kind of minutes, even when there's a lot of injuries. I mean, they dealt with Aaron Gordon having injuries, too, and you still didn't see the Watson minutes. So I give Adelman a lot of credit for that, but I'm not so sure that jumbo package to start the fourth or the way they went with the four-guard starting lineup, I don't know if that's the way to go about it. But it was kind of refreshing. This team is trying to get to the trade deadline, see who they have. I'm really curious to see if they can make any moves, because all those names I mentioned in the first segment, those would be realistic names that they're trying to move off of. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Coming up this weekend at Big City Roadhouse, Super Bowl Sunday, man. Great deals going on. But the cool thing is you can win a TV just by walking into the building. I mean, you're going to be having great deals going on. You got $3 domestic pints, $4 micro pints all day, but a chance to win a 55-inch 4K Ultra HD Roku Smart TV. By just walking in to Big City Roadhouse, you're going to be given a ticket on Super Bowl Sunday. They'll announce numbers. If they announce your number, you get a remote control. And at halftime, if your remote control turns the TV on, you win the TV. Pretty simple. No purchase necessary. You're just going into Big City Roadhouse to watch the New England Patriots take on the Seattle Seahawks. That's Big City Roadhouse. Big City feel, Roadhouse flavor. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Big City flavor, Roadhouse comfort. That's what it is, Mike. Come on, you messed me up. Don't nod your head like I messed something up. Mr. I'm too busy over there, not even in the room when we start a segment.
I knew it.
You don't get to do that. No, you don't get.
Sorry for earlier.
Today, you don't get to critique anyone. You are
and I
shamed.
I apologize for earlier.
You are shamed today.
I was a little busy, and I was not focused on you, and that's my fault.
That is the number one issue. That is the biggest mistake you could make. To not focus on me? I mean, I know I'm needy, but I am.
Needy.
Yes. And you know that. That's your mistake, man. I'm self-aware. I know that I need the spotlight put on me during this program and at all times. That's on you to know that. So,
and you left the spotlight at home.
You're supposed to be my spotlight.
Well, I don't have one of those. That's something that you have. You have an actual spotlight,
no,
and you left it at home.
That's
today.
Up to you. You're the producer, so you put the spotlight on the show host by producing and being a good producer. And when you fail that, which you do most of the day, most of the time, it's your fault.
I could get a flashlight and put that on you and be like, here's your spotlight.
No, just be a person. Remember the wanted ad? Just be a person.
Yes, we want an intern.
39 minutes after the hour. Let's take a short break here. The Broncos' biggest needs this offseason, and you can't just fall back and say, we're relying on Mims, Bryant, Franklin, and Harvey to all take steps. I was there at one point with younger players. I'm not there now. You guys want Hall of Fame Bo Nix? He ain't going to get there if you don't give him the necessary tools to do the job. 39 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally. Like growing up with a bank you can count on. Like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game.
Forty-four minutes after the hour. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe. Also brought to you by Foundation Sports Nutrition, a new locally owned nutrition supplement business and storefront in Greeley. Kyle just came by the studios earlier today to hang out and record some new ads. He is an awesome guy. He and I are kind of nerdy in some ways, not Micah nerdy, trust me, but he's excellent. And I've been taking some different supplements for me, and I'm telling you, the stuff he got me on, like the first day, it was a lot. And I've learned how much I got to eat before I take this stuff, but I like to exercise. There's a lot of our listeners, maybe you don't like exercise at all, maybe you exercise like 2 hours a day, I don't know if you can, or you're just trying to get a little healthier. Either way, maybe you, like Michael, you probably, you know, you're not lifting too many weights, I don't think. I don't think you're at the gym. I'm just guessing. Maybe not. Maybe you're a gym rat. I don't know.
Gym, what's that?
Yeah. So, like, maybe it's somebody more like Michael where it's like, ah, dude, I don't have time to get to the gym. I can't do all this crazy stuff. Maybe I've got some time, but I want to clean up a few things. Or you are running marathons. Kyle's going to help you at Foundation Sports Nutrition. Excellent human being right there. They're going to be offering nutrition consultations and plans. They offer seminars, all of that stuff. But bottom line is their mission is to make nutrition simple, effective, and maintainable for every person. So they're just contributing to a healthier you, maybe slightly healthier you. That's what you're going to get at Foundation Sports Nutrition. They're actually right down the road from us. They're off of 10th Street and 59th Avenue. They're across the street from Wells Fargo and Sonic. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Biggest needs for the Broncos, looking at the free agency list. And I also want to talk, if we have time later today, the current guys on this list who I think you need to make priority. But bottom line is Russell Wilson money is going bye-bye. You don't have to worry about that anymore. You have your full allotment of draft picks. I think you have an extra fifth-round pick from the Saints. So the Broncos can really make some good moves here. The part you want to be careful with, Mike, is I keep saying George Pickens. Is George Pickens kind of your prototypical wide receiver? Meaning a little dramatic at times? Yeah. You don't have that on this roster right now. The Broncos do not have a me guy on this roster, even at the wide receiver position. So the one bit of pushback I can see people having, do you bring in a stud physically good player like George Pickens, knowing that if the ball's not coming his way, more often than not, he's complaining. And then that starts messing with Bo Nix. You want to be careful with these receivers, man. Because what can receivers do to young quarterbacks? They can put unnecessary pressure on them. Where they start forcing things to said receiver, hoping to keep him happy, knowing I can get down the field quickly if I make it happen, and I also don't want to piss him off. And then you start forcing things. So much about building up a solid young quarterback is surrounding him not only with the right physical tools, but the right mental tools. Right now on this roster, name a guy that has come across once on this roster that, I mean, maybe Dre Greenlaw when he chased down the ref. But name anything controversial that you hear, like this team comes out and says after a game. Now, they didn't lose a lot. So to be fair, winning cures a lot of that stuff. But if you get to it and you're a 500 team and you're out, you have a game that's going to decide whether you're going to be a winning team or a losing team, and you lose, do you have a guy in that locker room that comes out and says, I don't know what we're doing on offense? I mean, Evan Engram, we did slightly hear in his exit interview for the season, not ending his job, that, you know, it's not on him to figure out how to use him. That was about as close as dramatic, and that's not very bad, that we've really seen or heard from the Broncos offense. So, George Payton, you're going to have money, but this is where you want to be careful and not just throw money out there and try to slap a really good player onto an offense, but also has, and I'm not saying George Pickens is like a bad dude, but there's a lot of these receivers, and he's kind of one of them, that can get a little pissy if he's not getting the football. So you want to, I'm just saying, you want to be careful here.
Do you dare draft? Do you dare draft a stud wide receiver first round?
Do you want to go another receiver late round? You've already got Mims, Bryant, and Franklin.
You have a young
you already have
group.
That.
Do you want to get a veteran in the I mean the draft?
What do you mean draft a veteran?
Do you want to get a player from another team or a free agency.
Yeah.
Who's a veteran?
Yeah,
dependable.
That's
or
what
do you
want
to go draft? Because the draft, from what I'm reading, the draft is deep in middle linebacker and wide receiver. That's kind of what it's shaping up to be. So, I don't know. Either position, both are needs. You got some draft picks?
I just hate going young again at wide receiver. See, I'd rather go young at tight end. Is this Rich tight end? Have you dug into that much yet?
I have not.
Because I'd rather draft a tight end and sign a proven wide receiver and or running back. That's what I'd rather do. 11:50 the time. Let's wrap up hour number one. We got top stories of the day coming up. Also, Doug Gottlieb. We're going to talk about that. He's the coach of University of Wisconsin Green Bay. He also used to be a radio guy. I've interviewed him before. He went off on KenPom ratings. I'll play the clip. We'll get into it. It's fascinating. Is he right or is he wrong? Also, trade deadline for the Nuggets. What rumors are we hearing at this stage? We'll be right back.
The Hall of Fame Preps Talk. Listen to Coach speak. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be a very deep tight end draft this year, Michael. I mean, you got Kenyon Sadiq, the Oregon tight end, who's probably going to go middle first round. And then next up is Max Clair, who's second round maybe material. He's the Ohio State guy. Joey Royer out of Cincinnati, second round guy. And then you get pretty deep there. You got like the Vanderbilt dude is like a third rounder. I mean, you could get, would you be cool with, I mean, Denver's got a late first round pick anyway. Would you be cool with this team drafting some type of tight end in the third, fourth, or fifth round and think that's good enough to put alongside Evan Engram, assuming he's still here? He's under contract, but assuming they don't try to move him.
I mean, I like Evan Engram, but we do need someone else.
Need
I'm fine
all-around.
With getting a stud wide receiver. Or tight end. Tight end, you can get a steal in the third, fourth round.
Yeah, but you need an all-around tight end, one that can really block, one that can go out and catch passes. You just don't have that guy, and you haven't had that guy for a very long time. Top stories of the day coming up next. Keep it here on the Hull Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.